on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 11th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. On a rainy, gloomy day in Auburn, a game you probably wouldn't want to get out and go to a basketball game for. Good news is, Auburn's on the road, so you can either watch them on TV, listen on the radio, do a little bit of both, however you want to take it in. Auburn basketball is on the road tonight, going into a place they haven't had a ton of success over the past several years, into Nashville. Auburn North is what it's considered as they take on Vanderbilt coming up tonight. We'll talk a lot about that today. Couple of big results from last night. Also, some major games in college basketball. Of course, a lot of those are from right here in the SEC, so we'll have all that for you. Today also starts something really special that we are excited to have for you during our show, and then it carries into the drive as well throughout the entire Auburn baseball season. So stick around until about 2:30. We'll get you some information on what we get to bring for you all season long during Auburn baseball. And so we're going to have that, plus just a whole lot of college basketball conversation, plus whatever's on your mind, right? We will go ahead, actually, and open up the phone lines because we do have an interview coming up in just a little bit. And with so much college basketball, we want you to be involved. With Auburn playing tonight, we want you to be involved as well. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. That is the that's the number to get you through to us, 334-321-1390. You can always shoot us a text if you'd like in the on-the-line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. And joining me in the studio, as he does every single day, Christian Griffin with us here from 2 to 4. My man, how are you? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, yeah. Happy to be a part of everything. Really, really excited for everybody to get a little sneak peek and get involved in everything that Auburn baseball is coming up. That's personal bias, but the best time of the year. So really excited to be able to get a deeper dive into everything Auburn baseball related, and then excited to talk about all of the games from last night, all of the games tonight, and throughout the week. It feels like every single week you have a ginormous slate, and none are bigger than what is appearing on Saturday. But some words already going around with Auburn and Vanderbilt. The Commodores definitely not shying away from the confidence factor, saying that Auburn's number one by their name looks cute and all, and the number one and number two on Saturday. But we have to go through them first, so a little bit of drama that way. Excited to be able to break it all down today.
Well, there was a couple of games last night that were pretty significant in terms of college basketball, in terms of the Power 5, right? You've got the Big East, which is one I consider in Power 5. I used to call it the Power 6, RIP to the Pac-12. But you've got the Big East, the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, and the ACC. And then the Big 12 last night was a game that ended up being better than I thought it was going to be. Baylor hung around with Houston there on the road. They just couldn't. They couldn't ever get there. They couldn't ever catch up. They let Houston get out to a lead, and thanks to guys like LJ Cryer, I mean, they just kind of held their hand out to him a little bit and never let Baylor really get comfortable. And the sixth-ranked team in the country, Houston, takes down Baylor 76-65.
Yeah, Houston went out onto a little bit of a run early in the first half, and then you kind of felt like it was back and forth. There were no 12-0 runs by either team throughout the contest, at least as of late. Houston wins by 11. Both of these teams shoot great from the floor, something you don't necessarily expect to hear playing the Cougars defense. But Baylor shot 22 of 38. They shot 57%. That being said, you only shot the ball 38 times. That in itself is going to hurt you a lot. 15 total turnovers that you give up. And in a team like Houston that doesn't necessarily care to push the tempo by any means. When Houston only has 7 turnovers, you have double that. You're definitely going to see it in the field goal category. If I tell you that Houston gives up 9 threes out of 15 attempts, 60% and 58% from the floor, you're probably telling me Baylor sneaks away with a victory. But Houston did just enough on the defensive end. They as well shoot 51% from the floor, 42% from deep. Rebounding categories, 42 total rebounds in the game, which is crazy to think about just because both teams shot it so well. But again, that turnover margin carries into the field goal shot for Baylor, and they just can't seem to get it done. Again, you mentioned just holding your hand out, and Houston, you don't want to say cruises, but happy to pick up another big-time win.
And that win for Auburn, way back when, continues to look good. I mean, Auburn has beaten some of the best teams in college basketball, which is why I think when the AP poll came out yesterday and the fact that Auburn was coming off of a loss over the weekend and still remained, right, the number one team in the country, that win that Auburn had in game 2 of the year is still holding serve. Teams like Iowa State and Houston and those types of wins are why Auburn is able to afford a home loss and still be the number one team in the country. Another team that they beat, right, played last night. This win's not looking as good for
Auburn. That's the thing I was about to say. North Carolina might be the one win that hasn't necessarily held up the stock value.
Which is wild. They're 14-11 overall. They're now 7-6 in the ACC, just one game over 500. As they go on the road to Clemson, South Carolina, who had an emotional win over Duke on Saturday, had to turn around, Christian, in less than 48 hours and play another big brand name. Now, Duke and North Carolina are not really comparable right now in terms of the product they're putting on the floor, right? We saw that in the first matchup of them, and they'll play again in the regular season finale. But there was no hangover for Clemson. They came out and hung 49 on them in the first half, 49-33, and Clemson never looked back. They even outscored them by 4 in the second half. And a newly top 25 team in the Clemson Tigers, they look good. And I'm going to pose the question that I love to pose here. Does an 85-65 win for Clemson last night inside their home gym after their win against Duke, right? This was at home in North Carolina being average at best. Does a 20-point win for Clemson say more about the Tigers and how good they are and can be? Or does it say more about North Carolina and how bad and just mid I think they are?
I'll say it gives more props to Clemson from the standpoint of the ability to bounce back mentally after a mentally, emotionally, physically very tough win, a court-storming win over the Duke Blue Devils. How many times have we seen it in the SEC where after a big-time win, the team forgets to get off the plane a couple of days later, and all of a sudden they suffer a 25 or a 30-point loss? You could have seen it go the other way. And I don't think too many people would have been overly surprised if we walked in and said North Carolina beat Clemson by 20, and you point to that because of the Duke game. That being said, I think that it shows a lot towards Clemson. They moved to 20-5. They're the 23rd ranked team in the country. I expect that to continue to rise based off of the fact that you're continuing to win games in an ACC conference that's watered down. You defeat who is expected to be the ACC champion last week. That gets you into the rankings. And a win like that shows you, again, 48 hours later, that this is a team that could get that Sweet 16 and Elite 8 win without necessarily having to overcome their own mental or emotional fortitude.
I'll give it to you that I think Clemson has proven something to me personally in the last, I say week, but really in the last 3 days with the win over Duke Saturday and this win over North Carolina. But I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say it says more about how just down North Carolina is. And the comments from North Carolina, this staff, Hubert Davis. I mean, remember the quote he had where he said the old school way of North Carolina basketball doesn't work anymore. And people have been trying to dissect that. They've been trying to figure out exactly what that means. And I don't think you had to throw the term North Carolina in there for that statement to be true. I just don't think old school ways of basketball work. And I think that was him trying to let his fan base and the public know, we're going through some things, and we're trying to make some changes, and right now what we're doing is obviously not working. I mean, Look at this game last night, for example. North Carolina typically has some of the best guards in the country. They've had some good bigs go through there, and their forwards normally have really, really high NBA potential. But they're continuing to rely on RJ Davis, who has played college basketball for 70 years. And other than that, you just don't have any consistency behind him. I mean, you've got Trimble, and Lubin even sometimes gets involved, but it's just there's not a whole lot of, crazy enough, talent on this North. They are lacking talent.
In a talent deficit?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, this is one of the least talented North Carolina teams that I've seen in quite some time. So I think the result last night says more about the Tar Heels and how mid that they really are.
I think the guard play is good enough for North Carolina to get by because, again, you have RJ Davis that you feel like, again, has been there for quite a long time, the senior that averages 17.5 a game. You have Elliot Cadeau and you have Trimble. Those guys combined last night put up 18, 12, and 11, 41 of their 65 points. Those three guards, if you can get that night in and night out, I don't think you're complaining. But when we were looking at this game last night, we were sitting there going, Shefflin and Locken are going to have field days because they don't have anybody down low in the paint.
And they did.
And you saw it. Lubin was their leading rebounder, and I believe is maybe their first or their second rebounder. He averages 5 a game as their forward, as their big man. That's scary for a team that you want to expect any sort of high ceiling from because you have the guard play, but you're limited to one possession on offense if you get a miss. And on defense, you're definitely not capable of holding too many teams to one shots. How many offensive rebounds did Clemson have last night? I'm trying to pull that up.
Quite a few. I don't know the number on it, but I would be willing to bet they had quite a few just from watching the game. I mean, I don't know what the number ended up being for Clemson, but I mean a 20-point win. They had 15. Okay.
And they out-rebounded defensively 26-18. Out-rebounded North Carolina 41-28.
North Carolina just doesn't have – they don't have that one dude. They don't have a rebounder.
They don't have the big man that is athletic enough that can go get you points in the paint and can rebound the basketball. You have the guard play, I think, that's good enough to get you by. But you need that big man that is good enough to go and either win you a game or keep you in a game. And right now they don't have it. And it continues to show. They moved to 7-6 in ACC play.
Are you still riding the fact that the ACC is not a good conference as a whole? Because I am. I think you're starting. Clemson has saved this conference in terms of its relevancy outside of Duke. Because for the first month of conference play, since 2025, since the turn of the calendar year, it was Duke. And then everybody else, and there was not a whole lot of buzz about this conference. But I think Clemson becoming relevant, and they were good. I think they're just starting to be able to prove it on the highest level and at the biggest stage, right? Louisville's in there. I think Louisville's a solid team. I really do. I think Louisville's a good team. Other than that, though, I just don't see anybody. I mean, man, Bracketology has 4 teams in for them. 4 for the ACC, which is matching the Big East with 4, and I will confidently say I'll take the Big East over the ACC in any head-to-head matchup outside of Duke. Give me any, which they would pair up with either, St. John's or Marquette right now, I think, in the Big East for the ACC.
Yeah.
I would take anybody else, 2 through whatever, in the Big East versus anybody in the ACC, which tells me in terms of ranking the Power 5 conferences, I put the ACC still at the bottom because now it's outside of Duke and Clemson. What do you have?
Does it hurt or does it help the ACC that Clemson beat Duke? Because now you have another team that you feel like is legitimate, but it makes it to where you don't have that one team that you expect to win it all.
I think Duke is still expected to win it all. I think a lot of people would be willing to bet
them. I guess more so the volume of Duke, the name, rather than now you have those second teams like Clemson or even Louisville possibly. SMU's not a bad team, but after you hit that point, that's where the slide really starts to drop off.
Yeah, I think it helped the ACC because, again, they needed somebody else. They needed another team to be relevant, and Clemson has done that. Duke losing Saturday was not a bad loss. I mean, it's not a good loss because that's not a thing in my book, but it's not a bad loss. I mean, it is what it is. But the ACC needed that because look at the drop-off. Listen to this. The SEC still slated to have 13 teams into the tournament. The Big Ten has 10. The Big 12 has 8, which I still think is an underrated conference that people aren't talking enough about. Then the drop-off happens. Cut that in half. ACC with 4, Big East with 4. You take those two, it just matches the Big 12. You have to have even more than that to get up to the Big 10. You can't even triple that and get to what the SEC has got. It's crazy to look at the separation of the SEC, then the drop-off to the Big 10, then the slight drop-off to the Big 12, and then the avalanche drop-off you get going to the ACC and the Big East right now.
Where does Clemson fall if they're in the SEC? I talked about it. It was either yesterday or a couple days ago, and this is not a disrespect to either of the teams. I just think matchup-wise, I think Clemson and Georgia would be a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that by I think Clemson would be 2-8 or whatever Georgia is in the SEC right now, but I don't think you're putting them up there. Georgia's 4-7 in conference play.
I would put Clemson in there with the Mississippi States and Missouri, yeah. 6-4, 5-5. I still think they'd be relevant. I think it would be a team you don't want to play in the midweek.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's a team you don't want to have to go to. That's a team you don't want to play. Man, they have a lot of mismatches with big guys. I mean, we saw it firsthand last night. They dominated North Carolina, and some of these teams in the SEC don't have that. So I think they'd be middle of the pack, and I think that'd be just fine because the SEC teams – middle of the pack is okay. Missouri, middle of the pack, top 25. Mississippi State, middle of the pack, top 25. Kentucky, middle of the pack, top 25. And Vanderbilt is in and out of the top 25, and they're in the middle of the pack as well. So you have the opportunities to get big wins. That's Clemson's problem, is they don't have that opportunity. They don't get to play quad one games every single night like you do in the SEC. I mean, Clemson has one or two on their schedule, and they beat the one that they had in Duke on Saturday.
Clemson is 3-2 in quad one games, 6-2 in quad two, 6-1 in quad three, and 5-0 in quad four.
Yeah, those quad two and three losses, man. I mean, you got to remember, they lost to Boise State way back in the beginning of the year. They did lose at South Carolina, which is not looking good for Clemson. But talk about a team that's different and just completely different than they were November, December, now in January, February. I mean, this team has completely flipped it around. The only loss they've taken are on the road at Louisville by 10, and home versus Georgia Tech in a triple overtime game where they just ran out of gas.
It's crazy to think that this is a team that I'm surprised doesn't have a little bit more hype around them, considering last year they were an Elite Eight team, which is something many people forget about.
Yeah.
But you have a bunch of those guys that have returned, so it's a team I wouldn't want to play if I was a six seed going up against a 7 or a 5 or whatever it may be in the round of 32, Clemson would not be a very fun team to match up with.
And not to talk about the ACC and Clemson as much, we're going to get to the games coming up tonight here in the next segment, but Clemson is basically done. Look at the rest of their schedule. It's a joke. And I hate it for them because they don't get any more chances to prove themselves against quality competition, but all they can do is get hurt now. That's the issue with a team like Clemson. Here's their schedule. Florida State, SMU, who's decent, Notre Dame, Virginia, Boston College, and Virginia Tech. Do you want to know which one of those teams is any sort of relevant? Boston College, bottom four. Notre Dame, bottom four. Virginia, bottom third, right? Florida State, they're 5-7 in the conference. They're 14-9 overall. They're terrible. You're not playing anybody relevant. SMU is the only one because they're 18-5, but they're 9-3. That's their last big game for Clemson is SMU, and it is on the road. So I would imagine that's a top or a quad one game given the net rankings. So that's the issue the ACC's running into is Clemson can only hurt themselves from here on out.
You could very easily not hear anything about Clemson for the rest of the year until the ACC tournament, and all of a sudden they're 16-2. In conference play, they move to, 26-5, and all of a sudden they're a top 15 team in the country, and you're going, I haven't heard about them in a month.
Yeah, and Clemson could be another example where What good does it do for them if they finish out the year undefeated? What good does it do for them to play in the ACC tournament? You don't get any credit for winning quad three games in the ACC tournament, so why would you play? Why would you hurt yourself if you're a team like that? There's so many other teams that fall into that category, but I think they are one of them.
Thankfully, we don't have any strong opinions about anything like that. Yeah, for the two teams that are, you know, one and two in the world right now.
Yeah, thankfully we don't care anything, or we love conference championships around here. We love conference tournaments in this show. So enough on the games last night. We got a lot of games coming up tonight. We'll start to kind of rapid fire through those, tell you what's coming up in one of the best college basketball midweek slates we've seen all season long. We're off and running here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
All right, shorter segment, went a little long in the first segment, but my goodness, are there incredible games coming up tonight in college basketball. Yet again, top 25 matchups all over the board.
ACC.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're out of the ACC and the Mountain West is where you can find those. Nope, it's out of the SEC, per usual. Big Ten does have one, too. But two of the three tonight are from the Southeastern Conference. Auburn, of course, is on the road, taking on Vanderbilt. That's at 6 o'clock in Memorial Gymnasium in Nashville. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Florida and Mississippi State happening at the exact same time in Stark, Vegas. Baby number three, Florida, off their big win over Auburn. Quick turnaround. They go to Starkville. They take on the Dogs of Mississippi State, who are ranked 22nd in the country. Just to run you through these really quickly here. Fifth-ranked team in the country, Tennessee, is on the road at Kentucky, who is ranked 15th. This game is weird, and we'll break it down later because there's all sorts of injuries and guys out. I mean, this is not Tennessee and Kentucky at full strength, and I think that plays obviously major factors, but now you got to start seeing, okay, who's not playing and where are the advantages in terms of matchups for these two squads. Is in Lexington, though, so keep that in mind. Tennessee favored by 2.5 on the road tonight inside of Rupp Arena. The other top 25 matchup is in the Big Ten. And if you've paid for Peacock for whatever reason, you can find this game. And it's going to be really, really good. And I suggest if you have it, to watch it. Number 7, Purdue. On the road in Ann Arbor, taking on Trey Donaldson in Michigan, who's ranked 20th in the country and one of the hottest teams right now.
And you heard that correct. The team that Auburn dismantled in Birmingham is the 7th-ranked team in the country.
And playing pretty
good. You haven't heard anything about them at all.
Purdue, yeah. They're 11-2 in the Big Ten.
But 7th-ranked overall. They travel to Ann Arbor, Michigan, as you mentioned, one of the better playing teams right now. Trey Donaldson's playing great basketball.
He's awesome.
Leading that team, doing everything he needs to do. Michigan favored by 2.5. Should be a fantastic game. Unfortunately, Peacock is where you can go to watch it.
Yay. That or C-SPAN Channel 3. Iowa State, the 10th-ranked team in the country. They're on the road at UCF in Big 12 action. Arizona, who is quietly the top 15 team in the country, they're on the road at Kansas State, who I don't know if they're good or not. Their record says they're not, but some of their best wins say they are. And so I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas State wins this game. They have wins this year over, we said it yesterday, top 20 Cincinnati. They also beat 23rd-ranked West Virginia. They beat 3rd-ranked Iowa State, and they're coming off of a win against number 16 Kansas.
But they lost to LSU.
Yikes.
They lost to Drake. They lost to St. John's, which isn't necessarily a bad win. They lost one. They lost 9 of their 10. And there was a span where they lost 9 of 10 games before getting into the middle of conference play.
Liberty's on that schedule too, where they lost. I don't know. That's a gross matchup, man. It really is.
Watch that game for fun. Don't touch it with a pole.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. Alabama is on the road at Texas. So Auburn and Alabama before they meet up this weekend in possibly the biggest game ever of these two programs. Both teams are on the road at tricky places in the conference. Georgia heads to Texas A&M. Indiana's at Michigan State. Colorado looking for the first Big 12 win. Don't know if they get it inside of Allen Fieldhouse taking on Kansas. And then a late night game in the Big East, UConn and Creighton. More on those games coming up in just a little bit, but stay tuned. We got some exciting news about Auburn baseball. here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll tell you more about it and a great interview coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we're 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, and we told you we have some exciting news for our show and just ESPN 106.7 in general. With Auburn baseball getting started this weekend, they welcome in Holy Cross for opening weekend on the Plains. We were able to work with Auburn baseball and George Nunnally, the SID over there, and everybody in that program. We're going to have guests every single week during our show and here on the station every single week talking about the midweek games and the upcoming series. And it's going to be an even rotation of head coach Butch Thompson, Auburn baseball assistants, assistant coaches, and players as well. So on a rotation, again, you'll have Butch Thompson, the head coach. We'll have an assistant join us one week. We'll have a player join us, and we'll have that equal rotation. And so this morning, had a chance to sit down and talk with Auburn head baseball coach Butch Thompson. We talked about the offseason, how last year was a disappointment, I think is what most would say, and how they are trying to get back to Omaha this year with tons of returnees, lots of new faces as well. Talk about the renovations. Also, get you ready for Holy Cross this weekend. So 2:30 on Tuesdays right now is what we're going to have this for you every single week. And we start with the head coach of Auburn University Baseball, Butch Thompson. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. And as the winter sports roll on, the spring sports are here. It's crazy to think about the fact we are almost halfway through the month of February, which means it's time for opening weekend on the Plains for Auburn baseball as they welcome in Holy Cross this weekend. Excited to welcome in the head coach of Auburn University Baseball, head coach Butch Thompson. Coach, thanks so much for your time. We're excited to have you on this week and all of your guys on throughout this season to promote the baseball program.
And we're excited to partner with you guys and talk throughout the year. War Eagle, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it is a lot going on, a lot happening with Auburn baseball, with it being opening weekend. We're going to talk about this Holy Cross series that's coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Plainsman Park. But before we get into that, want to kind of look at what this season is going to be and what this team is made up of, right? There are, it's a good combination, I feel like, between a freshman class that is ranked third in the country, which is the highest in program history, and a transfer portal class ranked as high as number four in the country. I feel like there's a good split there of guys who are coming in who are fresh and raw, plus really good returnees and some experienced guys from the portal as well.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, once we got out of last season, you know, what's the first thing you can do to make a difference? And that was to go and try to acquire a recruiting class like that. So, you know, the resources, the acumen of, Gabe Gross and Carl Nunnemaker, our recruiting coordinator, Everett Tiefert, our pitching coach, everybody went out and worked as hard as they could to put this amazing class together, and then, you know, a great fall practice. You know, baseball, we're the last team, I think, sports team to get started up. You know, it's like we've been on campus since August, and this Friday will be our first game. It's kind of crazy to think that way every year, but we've been working hard for a while to try to get Auburn baseball back to the standard of play that, you know, we got used to. You know, it's, we're trying to host the third regional in a row, and especially with all the new additions to Plainsman Park, it'd be nice for all these newcomers to come in and these 19 returners to have that chip on their shoulder and try to find that all in a positive manner to walk back to the postseason this year.
Yeah, 19 returners and 21 newcomers. Would you say that's a normal split nowadays in college baseball to have that many guys coming back, but also that many fresh faces in a year like this?
Yeah, traditionally it's not quite the same, but it seems like in this new world it's been that way. It's been about half and half. I think the roster the year before the regional host in 23 was about 20 and 20. So I think that's the new trend until something breaks and carries us in a new direction.
Well, you brought up a year ago, and don't want to harp on it too much, but it was not the year I think you were hoping for at a 27-26 overall record. That was 8-22 in SEC play. What has been the message this offseason to kind of wash that one away and get ready for what people outside of this town are saying is a really, really good Auburn team, and the expectations seem to be pretty high? What is that message to your squad heading into 2025?
Yeah, pretty simple. You know, I want our position players to run as hard as they can home to first base. Kind of stealing the John Wooden line where he just talked about straight lines. And you'll hear our players say straight lines. You'll hear our players talk about making a difference. And I think, you know, we got to hold them accountable to running as hard as they can home to first. And, you know, when you get a base hit, you run and keep running until the defense stops you. And can we define that each and every day? And if we can do that one concept, then maybe that would bleed into other things to try to create a standard and a culture within this ball club. And then our pitching staff, that's probably where we can make the biggest difference to getting back to what we've been doing in the past is the highest percentage of strikes possible. That's how we're defining our rotation this opening weekend, holding our position players, you know, accountable to running as hard as they can to first base. John Wooden talked about process versus results, I guess. And if you ran straight lines, you probably got open more often and you probably got more positions for rebounds. And instead of watching that scoreboard, if you just continue to run straight lines, you're in a better position. And we're counting on something simple like that. You know, the one other stat that we didn't put out there was we were 19-4 in our non-conference game. So this thing's all to do with playing in the Southeastern Conference, the best amateur baseball on earth, which basically SEC basketball is getting a feel for that this year. I know Calipari mentioned that a month or so ago, but we had added two more great teams to our league, and SEC baseball is better than it's ever been. And, you know, Coach Dye told me whenever I get, you know, backed in a corner, the less I say, the less I have to take back. We just need to get out there, continue to work hard, recruit that class we talked about, and absolutely run as hard as we can to home to first. Fill up the strike zone, attack the zone the best we can on the mound, and let the chips fall where they may.
We're joined by Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson here on ESPN 106.7. I'm glad you bring up the SEC because that's where I was going next. I mean, this conference is by far the best in college baseball, and for the last several years, baseball has been the best sport in the Southeastern Conference, and you said and brought that up, the fact that now you had two historic teams to this league. I mean, what is it about the SEC, in your own words, about what makes the SEC just so difficult to play in other than the high level of talent you see every single weekend?
Yeah, well, you probably have, you know, a collection of 16 schools. They're all bought into the sport of baseball. You have amazing coaches. Some of these guys have been here a long time and won a bunch of games. We're acquiring the best players that exist. I think there were 80-something former SEC baseball players that made opening day major league rosters.
Wow.
You know, Auburn baseball currently has 36 professional baseball players that will go to spring training this year. Since 2020, we've had 11 guys have MLB debuts at the big league level. That's second in this amazing conference. So the baseball is pretty good. The national champion has a great chance of coming out of our league, and it has recently. But with that said, you know, the 21-22 national champion didn't even make our tournament the next year, our conference tournament. That's how everybody's invested. But if you get the best resources, facilities, coaches, players, you know, that's gonna make a pretty special conference in a sport.
Well, you start looking at your team and what you're bringing back. We mentioned earlier 19 returners are coming back for Auburn baseball from 2024 to 2025. And the one that everybody wants to talk about, the highlight, I feel like, is Ike Irish, who was first-team preseason All-SEC. He's a preseason All-American from several different outlets across college baseball. I mean, the expectations are through the roof for Ike Irish, but he has high expectations, Coach, because of his production level a year ago, and I'm sure that that's the same feeling inside your locker room.
It is, you know, and I'd love for Ike to be able to have a complete season. You know, I don't know if our fans or people realize he missed basically four SEC weekends
right
last year. and played hurt a couple others. You know, that really hurt our ball club. So him being healthy is huge, but, you know, this isn't golf. This isn't, you know, one person. You know, he can have a great year, but if we can't do what we need to do on the mound and defend the ball and others produce offense, it's all for naught. But Ike's an amazing anchor for us, and he'll anchor that catching position. I'm so happy to have Cooper McMurray back at first base, because you look at the last 2 years he's played with us, of the production, extra base hits, as well as RBI. Derek Fabian, having a left side infielder back is great for us. Positionally, staying there. Eric Guevara, shortstop, that come off an ACL injury, probably played at 75% as a freshman. But hopefully we get a return on our investment with Eric. He led us in hitting in the fall. I was so excited to see him now at 100%. I don't think our fans, our team, nobody got to see the real Eric Guevara last year. So hopefully we get a return on that investment. Cade Ballou is another one, you know, in center field, that we could see a return on the investment of a lot of real playing time as a freshman. Hale Strickland, you know, another catcher that got to play a lot as a freshman. I think you're going to see some return on the investment of those guys getting a lot of playing time as a freshman as well.
I selfishly want to ask about Cade Ballou, because I call for Auburn High, and I didn't get to see him during his time there, but I just know how special he is, and being a local kid and what it means to go from Auburn High and now be playing at Auburn University. What have you seen from him in terms of his mindset, his grind, his work ethic that will make him and hopefully make him really successful in the long run in terms of college baseball and hopefully professional baseball for Cade Ballou?
Yeah, I just think he needs to stay in the moment, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers go to his family. You know, mom's going through a struggle of a lifetime right now, and That's an amazing family. And for anybody having to go through that at this age, you know, as a sophomore in college, my heart goes out. And he's got teammates and a whole Auburn family behind him. But Cade's going to play baseball for a long period of time. He needs to understand that and just keep trying to be in the moment, keep getting better every day he comes out. He needs to rush in and drag out and keep growing as a baseball player every day. He has power. He can absolutely run. He has size. He's physical. We're going to play him in center and left probably, I would project, this first weekend and into the season. But a guy of that size to be able to be that fluid and move as well as an athlete and get to play some center field, it's going to look pretty impressive. And, you know, he played great, man. He had home runs on the weekend. And that's where it's at as a freshman. I think he has a chance to play this game as long as anybody on our roster.
Auburn head baseball coach Butch Thompson with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. We look ahead to what's coming up this weekend with opening weekend on the Plains. Holy Cross comes in Friday night at 6, Saturday night at 6, and then 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Give us a little insight, and for the listeners at home, on what this Holy Cross team is bringing in. I feel like they're not as people will look at the name, coach, and say, it's opening weekend, it's Holy Cross, no big deal. But I feel like they may be, or they may have a few things up their sleeve and have a couple of guys we need to look out for.
And when it's all said and done, you know, one of the reasons, you know, one of our challenges from last year is we have committed to playing a top five overall schedule in the country. Last year we finished third and strength of schedule out of 304 clubs. Now, what that does for you, because, you know, you're trying to figure out, how do you host a regional? Will you play the toughest schedule in America? And if you're on the block with five other teams, it'll fall your way. That's why 22 and 23, we hosted for the first time in the program's over 100-year history. We're doing that again this year. Holy Cross is a projected conference winner. Second weekend, Wright State is a traditional regional team. And then you pop out to Arlington, Texas, week three, and you play an Oregon State, an Ohio State, and a Baylor. You got Georgia Tech home and away. We keep trying to put that schedule, because the risk versus reward is we're trying to be a top 16 national seed at the end of the day. Holy Cross is projected to win their conference. I know we're going to see three right-handed starters. Eight of their nine position players are back in a lineup, so you're going to see a veteran team, a Division I baseball team, that's going to be excited to come south and be outside and play baseball. And but, you know, same thing. With us having 21 new players and nobody has any stats yet, you'll start with breadcrumbs, and both coaching staffs will be thinking about their team first this weekend. And And then each week that happens, you'll start seeing updated, you know, real-time at-bats, and the scouting reports will build out. So when you get to week five of SEC play, you can write books on each other and each other's pitchers and hitters. But I think right now everybody in college baseball opening up is focused on their team getting in the right spots and getting on time and filling the strike zone up and playing good, sound, consistent baseball.
Coach, you've been doing this for a long time, and you've seen a lot of opening days and opening weekends. Do you still get the butterflies? Do you still get nervous about whether your team is ready or just the season starting and all the work you've put in is now going to be put on the field for the first time? Do you still get a little nervous for opening weekend?
I do, and I just, you know, I prepare teams. You know, I'm 54 years old, and I absolutely do that. And I think absent of that is when you have a problem. So I'm thankful that I still – get to feel the opening day walking around the ballpark and everything being finished up here at Plainsman Park.
Yeah.
And getting started for our 10th season. I'm like, I'm thankful to have those feelings. That's really what I think a competitor. I think our players are going to experience that. And I asked them to cherish that, because I say when that emotion does not fall on you, that's the issue. That would be the problem with you and the sport of baseball and any sport really, but we love the game so much. I absolutely feel those same emotions, and I'm thankful that going into year 33, I still get those feelings.
And you brought up those renovations happening at Plainsman Park. Definitely want to get your thoughts on those. I mean, with everything happening down the first base line, with the new suites, with the renovations there, plus people now being able to sit on top of the War Eagle wall. I mean, what does it represent for Auburn to be able to make those upgrades, invest that effort and money and time into Auburn baseball? And now what is, I think, back to one of the most beautiful ballparks and one of the most updated and renovated ballparks in college baseball.
Yeah, growth in of our programs continue to happen. I know 5 years of sellouts. I mean, you could build something. If nobody comes, it doesn't count. And our people have absolutely had five sellouts. And year over year, the last 3 years, they've just continued to step up. We put the Hall of Fame Club, which was just fantastic, behind home plate last year, single season. Now that's sold out. The Broadway Club behind home plate, where the PA and scoreboard was once there last year, is now sold out. The 984 Club down the first base line, which is a subtle way of saying that Plainsman Park is 984 miles from Omaha, Nebraska. That park is sold out. Coach Baird's coming out. We're going to go to the Monster and go to that seating above the wall. That's something that we wanted in the original Plainsman Park, that Coach Baird's vision was, that's happening now. And I want him to see that before the season starts, and just how incredible, you know, it just doesn't exist. You know, that's a Fenway concept that just we're bringing to college baseball now. And a couple of things to give credit on is when Coach Baird and University built the original Plainsman Park, it was second to none. It was the nicest ballpark in college baseball. It was a crown jewel. And what that afforded us and allowed us to do with this renovation now is, you know, it wasn't an aluminum can. After 15, 20 years, you need to wad it up and throw it away. We were able to build on the existing great original structure.
That's a great point.
We've maintained the Camden Yards, the Fenway, the Wrigley, and just added two. So our players got a locker room, a weight room, and the bullpen got closed in and heated and aired. But the premium spaces in this ballpark is just out of sight. And I believe for what we invested in this, we got as much bang for our buck. I think people are going to see that as well. I think that's a huge point to make of, like, what we invested in this and what we got out of it. I think they did a phenomenal job. And hopefully we'll look back years later and feel like we did as good a job with this adjustment as we did with the original ballpark. And it's unique and it's beautiful. And we've maintained and just built upon that original masterpiece.
Auburn gets to display and debut all the new renovations at Plainsman Park this weekend as Holy Cross comes to town. Opening night is Friday, this February 14th. Valentine's Day, 6 o'clock there at Plainsman Park as Auburn hosts Holy Cross. We appreciate head coach Butch Thompson and his time. We're going to talk to him, assistants, players throughout the entire season here on ESPN 106.7. Coach Thompson, thanks so much for your time. Good luck this weekend. War Eagle.
Hit the ballpark. War Eagle.
So that was head coach Butch Thompson. How awesome is that, man? We're going to have him, assistants, and players with us every single week throughout the baseball season here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate them. Again, George Nunnally, all the guys over at Auburn Baseball for joining us for the opener against Holy Cross coming up this weekend. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up very quickly in hour number one and get into hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
I told you it was going to be quick, and we're getting kicked out of here right now. So, not the way we typically like to do it. Apologies for that, but it was awesome to have head coach Butch Thompson again join us here on ESPN. We're going to have assistants. We're going to have players. All of those guys are going to join us throughout the season, so we appreciate them and their time again. Hang on with us. Hour number two is coming up. We have so much college basketball to talk about. Picks for tonight, Auburn and Vanderbilt, you name it, and we got it. We're going to have that for you coming up in hour number two right here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you will be able to catch up with the podcast. We post that on our station website every single day after every show. Try to get that up there for you every day, that is. In hour number one, we talked about some of the important games from last night in college basketball. Also, quickly previewed what's coming up tonight. We're going to take a deeper dive here in hour number two and what's coming up in a great college basketball slate tonight. Also, had Auburn University head baseball coach Butch Thompson join us on the phone lines. And again, we're going to have him, in case you missed that announcement, we're going to have him, Auburn baseball assistants, and Auburn baseball players join us each and every week here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. So they'll be on an equal rotation. Butch will join us 1 week. We'll get an assistant coach 1 week. And we'll get another player or get a player on another week as well. So that's going to be every single week here during On the Line and on ESPN 106.7. So that was all in the first hour. Again, if you missed it, you can go back and catch it with the podcast. Here in hour number two, as we mentioned, we're going to talk all the big games coming up in college basketball tonight, plus Auburn and Vanderbilt. Yes, seems like it isn't really game day because it's just been a quick turnaround and it's been a long time since we've had a game day following a loss for Auburn basketball. So that is what is on tap for hour number two. Phone lines are open. We're about to get to those in just a second. 334-321-1390. That's the number you can call to get you through to us. 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, which is always open at 334-784-1067. 7. And before we do get to those phone lines, want to let you know and remind you that hour number 2 during On the Line, each and every day here on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of our show each and every day here on ESPN. Let's get to the phone lines. We'll start off hour number 2. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, Jacob, it's Andy, War Eagle.
Yes, sir, Andy. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, the other day I heard, you know, Coach Pearl, your names came out of his lips, and I just thought that was so cool. And then hearing Coach talking to you, and I never really hear you toot your own horn, so I just wanted to toot it for you, man, if you don't mind.
Well, I appreciate that. What did Coach Pearl say? I mean, I must have missed
just said your name. It'd just be so cool. Coach Pearl's never said my name.
Oh.
So just listen, and I just want to say it's awesome to have someone at this quality at this time where I'm stuck in these crazy school lines. I get out of one school traffic, I'm in the next school traffic. So it's just awesome to, you know, you're good as it is, but the people you have on your show, it's just, I've never had anything like that in Auburn of all my life here. So just want to say 2 thumbs up, man. Keep it up. You're doing great. And lastly, don't know what to expect with this Vandy game. I think we're a little banged up. I think we're a little angry. So I think it'll be a closer game. Should win. The Saturday's kind of nerve-wracking up in Alabama. We don't do too well, but
sure.
War Eagle, and appreciate you, man.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Andy, and appreciate the kind words. Really do appreciate that. And you know, coming up in about a month and a half, April 1 will be 3 years that I've been hosting this show, which is kind of a crazy thought when I sit back and kind of think about that for a second. But it's not just me. I can promise you that. People that tune in and listen every day, as he mentioned, the guests we have on this show, the multiple co-hosts I've had and my current co-host I have, I mean, it's a blast to do what we do, man, and try to bring something different, something that's not on the airwaves, whether it's this one or other ones. I mean, we just try to be a little bit different, and we're on the younger side, and we try to push into that and live into that. And so Andy, appreciate that, man. I really do appreciate the kind words. Seems like there could be, though, a little bit of nervous energy for this game tonight in Vanderbilt. Are Auburn fans nervous, CG? Do you think? Have you seen or heard? And we'd love to hear from Auburn fans here in the second hour of the show today, whether it be calling in at 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in that on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. Are fans nervous for this game tonight against Vanderbilt? I mean, it's a place Auburn is not overly successful in Bruce Pearl's tenure, or just in Auburn's tenure in general. And a lot of SEC teams have not been successful this season in particular playing inside a Memorial Gymnasium. So are Auburn fans nervous for the game tonight?
Yeah, I think they definitely are, especially after what happened on Saturday. But I don't think that that's necessarily something that is in a negative fashion, right? I mean, we talked about it. We felt like on Saturday, it almost felt like there was an eerie calmness within a majority of the fan base where it, at least on our ends, it felt like there was a sense of maybe this can't happen. Maybe we've all talked about the loss. Maybe it can't happen or it's not going to happen today. Now, all of a sudden, you've seen the way that that team came out and got beat on your home floor. You know what Vanderbilt's done, although they don't have a number next to their name. They've defeated a couple giants inside of Memorial Coliseum tonight. And then you begin to preview Saturday, and you hope that the team is not already previewing Saturday, because this is a prime spot, as well as is for Alabama as they go to Austin, a prime spot for the possibility of a letdown game.
Who's on bigger upset to watch? Alabama at Texas or Auburn at Vanderbilt? I'll give you my pick.
I'll say it's Alabama at Texas.
That is my pick as well. I think Texas is...
I think they're a better team. I think it's a more hostile environment.
That's the route I was going, was more the environment.
And I think they're a better team at home, I guess I should say, based off of the environment.
Texas is.
Yes.
It's funny because these two teams just played, and Vanderbilt went and got a win at Texas on Saturday.
Yes.
But you're still going to pick. I'm not disagreeing. I'm getting reasons here. I think Alabama's on upset to watch because, right, going into Saturday, which this will be a question that we kind of dive into throughout the rest of this week, but Who's in the more pressure on Saturday? Who's the pressure on Saturday? Is it Alabama at home as the second-ranked team in the country, or is it Auburn as the first-ranked team in the country going on the road since they lost this past weekend? I'll answer my own question again. I think more pressure's on Auburn to go in and get that win on Saturday. I really do. I think the pressure's on Auburn Saturday to get the win against Alabama. More pressure on Auburn than there is Alabama.
I think there's more pressure on Auburn, at least in the beginning. But if all of a sudden, if things start to turn and Auburn gets out to an early lead, then all of a sudden you feel that pressure begin to switch, because you talk with everybody here and you're not walking into Tuscaloosa with the expectation of dominance or the expectation of, if we don't win this game, our season is over. To be completely honest, if you go into Tuscaloosa and you win, you feel like you're stealing one.
No doubt.
Rather than
yeah.
If Tuscaloosa or if Alabama loses at home, then all of a sudden I think the pressure very much jumps to Alabama. But walking into the game on Saturday, given both teams win tonight, then I think walking in, I think more pressure's on Auburn.
And I think, too, if you were to ask college basketball fans outside of this state who don't wear the orange and blue or the crimson and white, I think most people would tell you that Auburn's the better team right now. I think even with what happened Saturday, I think most people would tell you, just looking at this in a vacuum, Auburn is the better team than Alabama. Doesn't mean Auburn's going to win on Saturday. Doesn't mean that Auburn's going to win the national championship and Alabama won't. Doesn't mean that one's going to make the Final Four over the other, right? I'm just saying I think most people would tell you that Auburn is the better team. But that can change in the back half of SEC play. That's what we're in right now. We're in the back half of SEC play, where Auburn dominated the front half, and they're about to get off to a rough, or they're off to a rough start since last Saturday, and that could continue and possibly snowball. Ryan, I mean, you talk about pressure for the game Saturday. There's pressure tonight, because what happens if Auburn loses tonight?
They're walking into it on a two-game losing streak, all of a sudden making it to where it could possibly be three.
I think that then that my other question then flips. I think my answer flips on that other question. If Auburn loses tonight against Vanderbilt, all the pressure in the world. Well, never mind. I said Auburn had the pressure, right? So then that's multiplied. That is amplified by five, at least in terms of Auburn fans and the eyes of Auburn fans. On a two-game losing streak, and you got to go to Tuscaloosa to try to get out of it, that's not where you want to be, man. That is a horrible spot to be in. And Alabama, because they did what they were supposed to do this weekend, do they want to lose tonight? No. But losing tonight doesn't do a whole lot to them in terms of their confidence, I don't think, in terms of them still getting up and being ready for a game Saturday. I compare it to Ole Miss when Auburn had to go to Oxford, right? Ole Miss lost their midweek game, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. They lost that midweek game, but Auburn still came to Oxford, and Ole Miss still gave Auburn everything they wanted, right? Because you have a chance to wash that away. If you lose in the midweek, but you're coming home for a top 10 matchup, you can just forget about it because you have the opportunity to make up for it. Auburn is now in a really tough spot if you don't get it done in Nashville tonight.
Yes. I mean, again, we talk about added pressure. We've talked all season long, and now especially once you've hit that back half of SEC play where you're saying it's a two-man race. If all of a sudden Auburn comes back and we're on Monday going, how can Auburn get out of its own way?
Yeah.
After three in a row, that now welcomes back Florida to the conversation, Tennessee to the conversation, makes it to where that could easily be a four or five team hunt in those final six or seven games. And that's why I don't think that Auburn can afford, obviously, but that's why I don't think that they're going to overlook tonight, because they understand, crazy enough, how big each and every night is in the SEC.
You talk about bringing Florida back into it. Their next two games are at Mississippi State tonight and then home versus South Carolina Saturday. If Auburn does lose tonight and lose Saturday at Alabama, that would make Auburn 9-3. That would make Florida 9-3
with
the tiebreaker over Auburn. You better believe Florida's right back in the conversation. Guess who else is right back in the conversation that nobody is talking about, even though they're a top 10 team in college basketball? Texas A&M is right back in that conversation too, because guess what they have this week? Georgia and Arkansas both at home in College Station. If that happens.
How big was that win? Sorry to cut you off. How big was that win over Missouri?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Because if Texas A&M wins their two games this week, they're 9-3. If Auburn loses, they're 9-3. And of course, these two teams play, and they play one time, and Auburn has to go to College Station. Tonight's game is crucial. Tonight's game is massive for Auburn. And you got to do it on the road in a place that you just have not had a whole lot of success. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, Dan in Auburn.
What's up, Dan? What's on your mind?
I have a different way of looking at it. You know, obviously, we need to win tonight. You don't want to have the pressure of trying to have a three-game losing streak potentially happening. But if you're Alabama and you're at home against Auburn, and you know you got to come to Auburn at the end of the year, which I would not pick Alabama to beat Auburn in Auburn. I think the pressure's on them to win this game.
On Saturday against Auburn?
Yeah, because if they lose in Tuscaloosa, they're definitely not going to win at Auburn. They're probably not going to win at Auburn anyway.
Yeah, especially in the last game of the year. I mean, I don't think many people would pick Alabama to win that game. And it's funny you say that because we just got a text in the text box that says if Auburn wins tonight and on Saturday, the SEC race could just about be over. And don't necessarily agree there's a lot of games left, but you would really put yourself in the driver's seat if you're Auburn, which I think is kind of what you're saying too.
Yeah, yeah, if you lose to Vanderbilt for an Auburn's case, I mean, you're definitely – I mean, as Auburn fans, we're going to be pulling our hair out, freaking out, you know, worrying about going to Alabama. But, like, just assume – let's just say Alabama's the better team in Texas and we're the better team against Vandy, which is probably the case.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just going to be a heck of a matchup. But, you know, Alabama, that's a huge opportunity for them. But it would be a huge letdown because, I mean, they just lost to Ole Miss at home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you start to see some cracks in the armor. They have not been going out there and pacing everybody. I mean, they played a lot of close games, and it's not like they're, like, being dominant. So, you know, I don't know. I think they still have to play Florida. I mean, their schedule is really hard. It's not simple.
No, and after tonight, it ramps up. After tonight, Dan, they don't play a game that's not against a top 25 team. They play Auburn, Missouri, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn. Those are all top 25 teams. That's what Bama finishes the year out with.
Yeah, I mean, we could literally lose these three games, and then we come back with like a three-game. I'm looking at the schedule right now, but I mean, you know, we'll come back where we have Arkansas at home, Georgia at home, and Ole Miss at home. I mean, I think we feel like we're going to probably win all three of those no matter what. So, and then you got at Kentucky could be tough, and at Texas A&M could be tough, but then you got Alabama at the end, which would be, I mean, the crowd's going to be absolutely nuts.
Sure.
You know, it's probably, and that might be the game to win the SEC championship at Auburn. I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, you're right about that. It very well could come down to that.
You know, so I think the pressure is more on Alabama than you might think.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I think it's a compelling argument. I do. I think it's a compelling argument for this weekend's game, but I think what everybody is saying, whether they've called or texted in, and we got more that I'll read in just a second, the midweek games are really big right now for these two teams, Alabama at Texas and Auburn for Vanderbilt, or Auburn at Vanderbilt, but I still believe that they're and we're kind of debating two separate questions here, which gets a little confusing, so apologies for that. We're debating who has to get a win. Who needs a win more tonight? And who has more pressure on them Saturday? I think Auburn needs a win more tonight than Bama does.
I agree.
Because of the reasons I laid out.
And I think it goes back to, for the very first time, you saw this team have two things that you've been worried about all season long that haven't necessarily come true until last Saturday. You feel like Alabama has... By no means do I say Auburn hasn't established that offensive identity, but Bama's going to play the way that they play night in and night out. It's going to simply come down to execution. You could see Alabama shoot 30% from the floor tonight and get run out of the gym by Texas. They're going to come in on Saturday and could shoot 60% from the floor because that offensive identity doesn't really change. They get the pieces, and it comes down to execution. For Auburn right now, tonight, you have to figure some things out. Jani's still a little bit banged up. You need guys on the guard play to really, really step up. Denver Jones needs to be a guy that steps up and gives Auburn quality minutes, not on the defensive end of the floor, but in the points category.
Yeah.
How many times
I'm with you on that.
Have we needed a big-time bucket? Or how many times have we needed somebody? We talked about it where you feel so comfortable with the ball in his hands, but then there's a turnover right when things start to get settled down. Denver Jones has to answer the call tonight in a very, very big way, and the guards need to answer big time tonight. The bigs, I think Janai and Dylan are going to have solid games because Vanderbilt doesn't have the size that Florida has. That's when you saw Auburn get into a little bit of trouble. With Duke and with Florida, they relied on their big men and had good enough guards to shoot it. I think Vanderbilt, you're going to have to beat guys with your guards to allow the bigs to have success. So going back to all of that, I think there's more pressure on Auburn to win tonight. And then if that doesn't happen, it's even more amplified going into Saturday.
Regardless, though, wins seem to be more valuable than ever before. And you could say that on any team and any conference because we're in the mid portion of February. Yeah. We are 5 weeks away from an SEC tournament in Nashville. We're 6 weeks away from Selection Sunday.
By no means do you fear it, but you're almost looking at it like the Braves with like a magic number. Mm-hmm. And every single time they win, then that number jumps down one. If they win and the Phillies lose, it jumps down two. You're almost at the point of, okay, let's just survive another game because that's one less that we have to worry about. That's another win in the column. You're just trying to survive and get to the end of March, doing everything you can to not only keep the one overall seed, but to keep the number one seed in the SEC.
And I'll say this too. I know we got to get to break. We've had some long and wonky segments today, but Auburn's schedule from tonight through the end of the year is much more favorable than Alabama's. It's not a favorable schedule because you're still playing in the Southeastern Conference, but compared to what Alabama has, I just read it to Dan when we were talking to him. Alabama does not play a non-top 25 team after tonight. Every game after they go into Austin tonight is against a top 25 team currently in the top 25, and I think will remain in the top 25. And this plays into your point that you're talking about where every game matters and you're looking around to see, okay, we won our game. Did Alabama lose? Did Florida lose? Did Tennessee lose? Did A&M lose? Right, Auburn at least has two games after tonight that are not considered top 25, not considered overly difficult. They're still tough games, but you get Arkansas and Georgia at home. Those are games that Auburn can separate themselves in the SEC standings. You have opportunities to get not gimme wins, not easy wins, but more favorable wins, more favorable matchups to where you don't have to go through a gauntlet like Alabama does. The end of the schedule is, sure. But Auburn has two opportunities that Alabama does not have with Arkansas and with Georgia.
And it's two things, two games that you're hitting right in the middle of a really nice stretch following Alabama. Three straight at home, Arkansas, Georgia, and Ole Miss. Going back to the Braves baseball reference, you feel like that's almost that series that you have to sweep just so that way it continues to keep everything going, and then you can take care of your business and then slowly begin to peek outwards and hope that that one game lead, or even if it's tied, can slowly begin to make a little bit of separation.
We'll take a break, come back, make some picks for the big games around the country tonight, plus talk Auburn and Vanderbilt. You can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390, or shoot us a text at 334-784-1067. Back after this on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, rapid fire. We'll have to carry this into the next segment too. But big games on the schedule tonight, CG. Big, big games. Yes, Auburn and Vanderbilt's big on the national landscape. Eh, not so much. I mean, look, still the number one team, and they're in action on the road. So people will tune in, and everybody will be pulling against Auburn because they're the number one team. People will be pulling against Alabama because they're the number two team, right, on the road. And how about this? The top three teams in the nation are all on the road tonight in the SEC. Auburn at Vandy, Bama at Texas, and Florida at Mississippi State. The fifth-ranked team is on the road in Tennessee, taking on Kentucky and Lexington. That's pretty solid. That's pretty strong. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Maybe it's bold, maybe it's not. Remember, Duke and Florida are the two teams tied at three, which is so stupid. And Tennessee is the fifth-ranked team in the country. I'll say it. Between Auburn, Bama, Florida, and Tennessee, somebody ain't making it out alive tonight. Somebody's going to lose on the road in the SEC. Out of those four teams, Duke plays tomorrow against California. Woohoo. One of those four teams is losing tonight.
You could go even further down. 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, and 10.
All on the road.
Play on the road. Woo. Tonight.
Give me two or more. For entertainment purposes only, we'll get to picks, I guess, in just a second. How many is that? Let's see. So one, two, I'm just counting the teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right?
And then Alabama.
6.
Yep.
6 of the top 10 is on the road tonight in college basketball. Arizona's a top 15 if you want to throw them in there as well, just for sake of conversation. That's 7 of the – almost half of the top 15 is on the road tonight in college basketball. Of those 7 teams
– 7 of the 10 ranked teams.
For entertainment purposes only, over-under would be set at 3.5, 2.5 of teams to get upset tonight. Of those teams to lose tonight.
I say, for entertainment purposes only, I think a good line would be 4.5 teams to win.
To win. Okay. I like that. We'll go that route.
And I will take the over. I will say that 2 teams of those 7 that we mentioned fall tonight.
I'll do it just for fun. I'll take the under. I think you will see 3 teams lose tonight inside the top 15. I don't think it's Arizona. I think Arizona will win. I don't think it's Iowa State. I think they'll win. I'm going to pick Purdue to lose.
That was one of mine.
I'm going to pick Purdue to lose against Michigan. I'm going to pick Tennessee to lose against Kentucky. We'll talk more about that in a little bit because there are just crazy inactives tonight in that game. That's 2. I said there's going to be 3, right?
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Is it Alabama or Texas?
You got 1, 2, or 3.
Woo! I have a top 3 team in the nation losing tonight in the midweek.
Is this a JG guarantee?
No, absolutely not. Oh my goodness, no. I do need one. I haven't dropped one of those in a while.
This is a JG maybe, please.
Yeah, for real. I have a top 3 team losing tonight. And I think I know who it is.
Oh, it's crazy that music bed hit.
Oh, is that what that is? Man, I hate that we got to wait till after the break for me to give you that pick. Plus, we'll talk Auburn-Vanderbilt and the other games in the SEC. We got 30 more minutes here on a all-over-the-place Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around. We got 30 more minutes.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goetz. We appreciate you spending your rainy, dreary, gloomy Tuesday afternoon with us here on ESPN 106.7. We got about 30 more minutes as we're talking college basketball, and we've got people getting involved in our for entertainment purposes only bet here, Christian, about of the 7 top 15 teams in college basketball who are on the road tonight. We said you placed it at 4.5 wins for those 7 teams. You went over. I went under. We've got several people going both sides. Uh-oh. We have people sprinkling a little somethings. One guy says he's betting the farm on the under for me because I'm saying several teams are losing. I said that Purdue's going to lose tonight. I said that Tennessee is going to lose tonight. And that leaves me with the first ranked team in the country, the second ranked team in the country, or the third ranked team in the country losing tonight on the road. Auburn at Vanderbilt, Alabama at Texas, and Florida at Mississippi State. Do you believe one of those three teams loses tonight on the road?
No.
Okay. Why?
I think Auburn is good enough to beat Vanderbilt. I think with injuries, I'll trust Zakai Ziegler in defense in that game. And I think that Florida is a good enough team down low and a good enough defensive guard or defensive guard play on Josh Hubbard to get it done in Starkville.
Well, I'm talking Auburn is the first ranked team, Bama and Florida, top three teams in the
country.
Oh,
sorry. Yes, yeah. looking at the 1, 3, and 5. Top three, if there's one, I think it's Alabama.
Really?
I do.
Wow.
I think that the Moody Center has become a really cool place to play. Texas is going to
their first trip
to bring a lot of people, and I got a good buddy there that works there, and he said that they've circled this date for a long time because of football emotions.
Yeah, I mean.
So because of that, you can take it with what you will.
Yeah.
For all you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with it on the hardwood, but sure. From a fan perspective, I guess if that brings a little bit more animosity. 1, 2, and 3, I'll even say that 5, Tennessee, I don't think they lose at Kentucky. I think if there's one, it's Purdue, and I wouldn't be too surprised if UCF pulls an upset on Iowa State.
Wow. I'm not sold on UCF, man.
Are you sold on Iowa State?
No, but I'm sold on them getting back on track tonight. At least getting
7-point favorites.
I'll take it. I'll take Iowa State and the points. For no reason. Just because. The last three teams that have walked in to Austin, 22nd ranked Missouri, lost. 13th ranked Texas A&M, lost. And Arkansas, when they were starting to get hot, they did get that win. But it was an 8-point game, and Texas took it down, and they were in this thing until the very end, where Arkansas won again 78-70, where Texas had every chance in the world. They used some free throws to pull away, did Arkansas. So your pick is not bad for Alabama to be of the top three teams in the country, for them to have the best chance at losing.
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah,
you know who didn't play for Texas against Arkansas? Trey Johnson. You know who's probable tonight?
Trey Johnson. This would be the game he would go off, because Alabama doesn't play a lick of defense.
Nope.
And Texas can score when they need to. When they need to, they can score. Their problem is they haven't been able to do it as of late. They are losers in 3 of their last 4. They've got to find something tonight.
I take it back.
Alabama.
They did play Arkansas on the 5th. He did play. He had 25 in that game.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I thought he had a couple of shots there.
I was
to
thinking
win
that
it.
Game was a little bit.
I thought he had a couple shots, like especially from the wing, like to tie it or get it within. Like,
yeah, no,
he had a few looks and just couldn't knock him down.
Yeah, he went 6 of 22.
golly. What was his free throw numbers?
10 of 12.
That'll do it.
So maybe Bama can get their own medicine thrown right back at him for Texas shooting 60 free throws tonight. I don't know. That's my one, if there is. But I still think Alabama is good enough. And I think that the top three teams in the country are good enough as well. So that's why I'll take the over on that 4.5 line.
I'm taking under because
for entertainment purposes only, that doesn't happen for Jacob Goins either.
You're right. You are right about that. There's reasons, and we'll maybe never get to those on the radio. But of Auburn on the road at Vandy, Bam on the road at Texas, and Florida on the road at Mississippi State, I want to say Florida for a letdown purpose and going on the road. Mississippi State's a good matchup for them. It's in Starkville. I could see this one happening, but the one that I feel is on the biggest upset watch, you're not going to like it.
It's the one with the biggest line, I guarantee it.
I think it's Auburn on the road at Vanderbilt. I really do. I think if there is a team who's on the biggest upset watch in the top three, it is Auburn and Nashville. Given what Vanderbilt has done, and as we kind of dive into this matchup in particular a little bit, I don't know. Vanderbilt's not worried. They're not scared of Auburn.
They don't have anything to lose.
They have nothing to lose. And it's in a place, it's in a building that we talk about it every time somebody goes here. But, man, this is a hard place to play. It's a hard place to coach. Bruce Pearl talked about it in his media availability yesterday.
Yeah, he said they asked him why it was so difficult, and he basically said, well, think about it from a football perspective. If you went and asked Coach Hugh Freeze to stand basically next to one of the goalposts and try and call a game,
yeah,
it's difficult. But Vanderbilt has gotten used to it, and so little things like that can become such an advantage for the home coach.
And Auburn is clearly, we saw it Saturday, Auburn's clearly not 100%. Jani Broom is not 100% coming back from the ankle. I don't think Chad Baker is, and Bruce Pearl told us so yesterday in his media availability, that he hasn't been for quite some time. They're just not going to make a lot of it public because, quote, he already gets attacked enough and people come after him enough, right? But man, a guy like Jason Edwards tonight for Vanderbilt, a guy who averages 17 points a game for them, on top of three more that average double digits with A.J. Hogard, who I think is really, really good. Tyler Nichol is really good. They do have the McLaughlin kid, who is their big man inside. He averages 11 and 8 in terms of points and rebounds.
He's 6'7".
6'7". Which means Jani Broom and Dylan Cardwell have to work together. They've got to get on the boards tonight. Auburn can't afford to do what they've done in several years at Vanderbilt, is give them second, third, fourth opportunities at shots on offensive boards, because Vanderbilt can make shots, folks. They can shoot the basketball, and if you give them two and three chances, they will. They shoot it at 46% from the floor, 74% from the line. Not a great three-point shooting team, but they're much better at home than they are on the road.
And it's skewed a lot based off the bottom half of the lineup. Jason Edwards shoots 38% from three. McLaughlin, again, that forward, shoots 38% from three. Tyler Nichol shoots 39% from three.
Top-heavy, yeah.
And A.J. Hogard shoots 32%. So it's a very top-heavy, a very skewed three-point percentage. I think guards defensively are going to have to play one of the best games that they've played all year for Auburn to come out with a win.
And it's something I say it all the time, and people may get mad if I say it and they may not understand what I'm saying here, but this is a game that it all depends on Auburn. This is so on Auburn tonight, it's not even funny, man. You're coming off that game against Florida where you didn't play well and it showed. You didn't have the energy and it showed. You got outplayed and it showed. You have every opportunity. When you just go man for man, pound for pound with this Vanderbilt team, you're 20 points better than them.
You hope that this is very different on the court, but roster-wise and the way that it looks on paper, you hope that Auburn does the mindset of what they did against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Where they just fed inside and dominated the glass, and even if you don't shoot great from behind the arc, you're still able to walk out with a comfortable victory. Obviously, comparing Vanderbilt and Oklahoma is two very different teams, two styles of play that are very, very different. But again, from taking a roster on paper and comparing it, you think those two would line up together. And Auburn, who has a very big size differential with Jani Broom, Dylan Cardwell, even Chaney Johnson, you could expect a big night for him, and it wouldn't really surprise anybody. But those three or four guys could really have a big night on the offensive end. It's the defensive end where it's really, really going to matter, because at home, Vanderbilt is going to want to put up shots. And if they can shoot the same success rate that Florida had from deep, I think that's when things could get a whole lot scarier.
Yeah, Florida shot, what, like 48% from the floor? I think they were flirting with 40% from downtown.
Yeah, they were 13 of 39, I believe. No.
13 of 33. And then the free throw line, they were above 80. I know they were north of 80% at the free throw line. So if you let Vanderbilt do that on their home floor, yeah, you're probably going to lose if you're Auburn.
Florida was 13 of 33, 39.4% from three, and 15 of 18 from the free throw line. If I tell you those numbers, that Vanderbilt shoots 48, 40, and 83,
you're going to lose. You're going to lose tonight.
You're going to walk out with your second straight loss.
And it really just comes down to energy and effort for this Auburn team, which has not been an issue for most games. Has not been an issue in most games. But it was on Saturday. And maybe the SEC schedule just wore down on this team. Maybe this was the inevitable loss on Saturday. In the Florida game is what I'm talking about. You hate that it was that situation. You hate that it was a top 10 game. You hate that it was at home, right, when the whole country was watching. That sucks. It does. I'll say it. It does. But now you have a chance to say, got it out of the way. Time to move on. Let's focus up. Let's get back on track. And I'm telling you, man, if Auburn goes in and plays with the defensive focus that they have had in so many of these games, I'm talking from the 1 to 5, Auburn's going to win this game. It may get nasty early, but Auburn over a 40-minute span is so much better than this Vanderbilt team, who has big wins on the year, right? They are capable of doing it. I just think Auburn has to find ways to get stops and limit it to one shot or less on a possession for Vanderbilt. And then offensively, right, which looking at the scoreboard wasn't an issue Saturday against Florida, but 6 points from CBM and 2 from Denver Jones is not going to get it done. No. And if Denver has another bad night tonight, and I hate to get on him, but we need to do it. We haven't done it yet. If Denver has another performance like we've seen, not just against Florida, but I think the last several weeks, where he is sloppy with the basketball, not really orchestrating the offense the way he's supposed to, not making shots, right, turning the ball over. I mean, it's 7 rebounds against Florida, but I'm not looking for rebounds out of my point guard. This isn't Russell Westbrook, right? He had 1 assist, 3 turnovers. Another game like that, and the crowd that's been starting to bubble up and getting really close to the edge of Tahad Pettifer needs to be the starting point guard on this team, that's going to overflow. And you could see that decision made sooner rather than later. And you can argue whether that makes Auburn a better team or not, or a better team or not, with Tahad starting versus him coming off the bench. And I want to remind people, because I was in this boat, I called for Denver Jones to start at point guard last year, and I wanted him to start this year. I believe you were in that category too.
Yeah.
But it's not working right now. It's not. You're not getting the production from him that you need. And
offensively.
Yes, offensively. And I think that's why he is still starting, because yes, he does bring that defensive skill set going up against really, really good guards in the SEC. But at what point do you say, well, we can't afford the turnovers, we can't afford the stalling of the offense, which I know there's been some arguments with Pettiford in that as well, but man, Pettiford's a dog, and he will shoot it from anywhere, anytime, and there's a good chance he'll make it. Didn't shoot it great Saturday, but still had some big-time buckets, kept Auburn around a couple of times, and it comes down to, what do you want more? What do you value more? A guy that had 14 points, 3 assists, 1 turnover off the bench, or a guy that went 0 for 4 with 1 assist and 3 turnovers as your starting point guard? What do you want? What do you value? And Bruce Pearl and Auburn have to figure that out. And tonight could be the last straw. I don't know. I don't know what their mentality is. But tonight could be the final test for Denver Jones as a starting point guard.
Again, I think tonight you'll see more Denver, because, like I said, tonight guard play defensively will be the difference maker. Defensively down low and offensively in the paint for the scoring side of things, that has to be the key points tonight. I don't think your offense is going to have any sort of struggles like your defense had on Saturday. And I think that's where the mindset's going to be, of picking the spots when you choose to go in transition, otherwise running half-court sets. I want to see Auburn do something you feel like they haven't done in a long time. You hinted at it a little bit ago where it was all on Auburn. How about Auburn control the game? Control the pace of how this game is played. We've talked about it for 5 or 6 games, and we use the terminology of Auburn found a way, even though Ole Miss played the style of game they wanted, even though Tennessee played the style of game they wanted, even though Georgia, heck, even South Carolina played the game and the style that they wanted. A majority of those games on the road. Let Auburn go and find their offensive identity and defensive identity on the road and do what they need to do to control the game and walk out with a win and turn your focus to Saturday.
Which shows how much this team relies on its defensive pressure to create offense for themselves.
Sure.
Because Saturday they were scrambling. The entire game they were scrambling because they were so thrown out of sorts defensively that they couldn't settle in offensively. And people don't think about that in basketball. It's different than most sports, right? Where team defense and team offense are the same five guys.
Yes.
Baseball is individual, sure, more individual, but basketball, it's the same five. You play defense and you run down and play on offense, right? If you get demoralized on one end of the floor, you've got to shake that off in 94 feet and figure it out. And Auburn couldn't do that Saturday. But if they do what you just said tonight and control the game, play the way they want to play, don't let Vanderbilt run, don't commit a bunch of turnovers, and just do what you do, Auburn will be fine. Auburn will be just fine tonight.
It's crazy. Like, it sounds stupid, but that's how runs become a factor in a game.
Sure.
If Auburn goes on 2 12-0 runs, one in each half, they win this game. And I think that's what you kind of need to see at some point tonight, where you have a couple defensive stops led by a couple threes or a couple big-time buckets, force a timeout. You do two or three of those tonight, control the game, and I think you walk out with a win.
We'll give our final picks and predictions for Auburn and Vanderbilt, plus tell you how you can listen to the broadcast here locally in the Auburn-Opelika area. We'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line after this.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. It's been a great show, been a wild show. We've had a lot to go over. A lot of college basketball today. Also had Coach Butch Thompson join us today from Auburn Baseball as they get ready to host Holy Cross this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. Again, Butch and assistant coaches and players are going to join us all season long, once a week, here during On the Line on ESPN. So we are really excited for that. If you missed that interview previewing the season, kind of talking about the roster and what last season was and the renovations and things like that, I mean, look, Butch is an awesome coach to talk to. He's open, he's honest, and he was a really, really good interview. So he will be joining us again throughout the year with assistants and players on an equal rotation. So that was in the first hour. We talked a ton of college basketball as well. If you missed any of it, you know where to go. Go and check it out at ESPNAU.com in the podcast version of the show. We had some great conversations, too, about the fact that there are seven top 15 teams on the road in college basketball tonight. What did I say? I have
the line. We set the line at 4.5 of teams to win of those seven. You took the under. I took the over.
Yeah, I think three of those seven teams lose tonight. Right?
Well, then you would still take the over. Because that would be.
Well, who did I pick? I said.
Never mind. No, that would be four. No.
Yeah. I have them going 4-3 tonight.
Yes.
The top, those seven teams on the road, I have them going 4-3 overall. I have Purdue losing. I have Tennessee losing. I have Auburn losing. I think Auburn loses tonight. I don't know. I think Auburn is still the better team. I think this is a quick turnaround. Very quick. I mean, they lost Saturday. They had Sunday off. They traveled yesterday, and now they're playing tonight. And that gym is funky. That crowd will be crazy. They can literally smack the floor with their hand. Bruce is loud, but not that loud to yell from the baseline sometimes. And that's what the thing, too. We were talking about runs just a second ago. Runs compile in that gym because trying to get timeouts or get play calls in, I mean, if they're on the other end of the floor, they're literally 90 feet away from you. And there's nothing you can do as a head coach or a coaching staff. And so I think that building gets another one tonight. I hate to say it, but I think Auburn falls short. I'll say 88-82. Auburn falls to Vanderbilt. They'll be the third team tonight to fall as a top 15 team on the road, along with Purdue and Tennessee.
I would not be surprised if Michigan pulls it out there. I guess that's not even an upset officially because Michigan is a 2.5-point favorite. I'm going to take Florida. I think that could be one that you see. I still have Tennessee winning. I'll trust defense in that game because there's so many injuries in that game. If there's a second one, I think it's Texas that beats Alabama. I think the silver lining could be on the wall. And what happens if both of those teams, if Auburn and Alabama?
I think it's a wash, would it not? I think it would almost.
But it just makes it to where that 1-2 still, it feels a little bit different.
Yeah, I think on the national landscape, it would be a wash. But then to what we talked about earlier with who has more pressure to win tonight, who has more pressure to win on Saturday, go check that out with the podcast. I think it would ramp up the pressure again. I just think in-state it would be, man, we really got to get a win this weekend. We need to bounce back after a rough midweek loss. And for Auburn, it would be 2 in a row. You try to avoid 3 in a row this weekend.
And real fast, before we get out of here, I will not be here tomorrow. Lee Scott takes on midfield at 1:30 at Alabama State. So tune into that. Tiger Country 104.5 will go on air right around 1:15. And hopefully I can call in the second hour with some pretty good news.
I forgot. That game changed from 10:30 to 1:30. You're right. So, yes, you'll be gone. I'll have you covered, though, just like old times, right? We'll have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, and it's Wednesday, which means Double D. Darryl Dappert will join us as well. We'll plug Christian's broadcast and a whole lot more. We're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.